This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
I'm Zach Strief, joined by the Cajun Cannon, Bobby Hebert, and the head coach of the New Orleans Saints, Sean Payton. And Coach Payton, how you doing tonight?
I'm doing fine. Just kind of watching the Cleveland Browns here on cut-ups. Our normal Monday schedule with the players, you know, they come in, they lift, they run, and we have a chance to look at the film, get it corrected. Obviously, there are a lot of things we needed to fix today. And, you know, after that 24-hour period, you quickly jump to your next opponent. But this is going to be an important week for us.
Now, Coach, I'll tell you the same thing I told Drew after the game. I'm excited to get this first awkward interview out of the way so we can move on.
Hey. Listen, I'm just for hoping there aren't many awkward interviews, but it's part of the deal. And you know, I said this after the game: you tip your cap to Tampa Bay. They came in and played the type of game they needed to play to win. You know, and you're always measured as a coach. You don't want to take anything away from your opponent. I thought Fitzpatrick had a career day and located the ball and got rid of it in a timely fashion. So we've got to look closely at how that unfolded and how can we, you know, prevent it from happening again the way it did yesterday.
Now, Coach, the Saints have now lost 13 consecutive games when we don't rush the ball at least 20 times, and obviously the flow of the game dictates that a little bit. But at what point is slowing the game down with the running game no longer an option while they're averaging, you know, 15 yards a play?
Well, I think it's a great question. You know, oftentimes you're paying attention to what they're doing defensively, and you know they're typically a cover four team, a shell defense. Mike's done a great job as a defensive coordinator there. We've seen him before in Atlanta. We got a lot more single safety. I felt yesterday, where they were, you know, at least trying to load the box or put an additional guy in the box. We had some decent runs, and then the other element was, you really felt like Drew had a hot hand, and he was doing a great job of getting the ball to a number of different players.
And now, Coach Payton, talking about Drew getting off the hot hand, I know it's four quarters, but you have to feel pretty good opening week, and the Mercedes-Benz Superdome, the crowds into the game, you go six plays, 71 yards, and all of a sudden you're up 7-0, but then it was kind of mind-boggling. I'm looking at Tampa Bay's first two drives. They go 10 plays, and they get 14 points. Four plays, 68 yards. I know we had an 11-play drive, end up getting a field goal. So what was the thought process? It was like, man, can we maybe force them to punt, or is this going to be a track meet type game? Because I know you addressed this, that you can't be in a game where we score, you score, and back and forth, because you're going to, you know, over history, you'll be a 500 team.
Yeah, and I think you're right. And we've been in those games, and we know what ends up happening. I think this momentum's a funny thing in our league. And when we were able to get the first touchdown, it was just what we needed to start the season. You know, at home with our crowd, it felt extremely loud. And I think the challenge of the disappointing thing in that first drive for Tampa is, you know, we kind of bust the coverage, and DeSean Jackson then gets behind the defense really wide open. And so it kind of wipes that first series out. And I think, you know, when we've been real good here and we've gotten up two scores, you know, that becomes challenging then for the opponent. And I would say, to Tampa's credit, they answered. It went back and forth. And look, it became a high-scoring game, and then you could point to the turnovers where you didn't hold volley, if you will, or hold service. And you don't go into a game thinking it's going to be one way or another. Certainly, you have to prepare to adjust to to a game when it shifts one direction or another, and you try to make some adjustments you need to make defensively, and then offensively the same way. Clearly, we would have wanted to go into a game like that and rush the ball more. It's been something that I think we've been real good at, especially with the start of the preseason, even with this team. So, you want to remain balanced, and yet I think one of the key stats in that game, the third down numbers, again, were out of whack and tilted heavily, to Tampa. And that's kind of how it was our last game down there in Tampa Bay. If you can't get off the field defensively, it becomes a long day.
Now, Coach Payton, is there any rhyme or reason? Because you look at all the success, and it's been, ebbs and flow where we bounce back, you get off to a great start, or you get off to a slow start. But for some reason, we've now lost seven of the past eight season openers dating back to 2011. Some fans will tell me, well, that'd have been a tough game to win on the road at Minnesota, and then the first home games against the Patriots. But Cleveland's coming to town. But, I mean, it's kind of like, do you think human nature, do players read their press clippings? And I know it's the NFL. You better come to play. You better pack a lunch. Because that's what I think occurred with Tampa Bay. We're the number one favorite team in the NFL, and then all of a sudden you lose a 48-40 type game, which is entertaining, but not necessarily if you're a Saints fan when you don't come away with a win, considering the expectations in week one and thinking that we're going to get off to a fast start.
Well, it's been a while. I would say, in fact, it's been all the way back to 2004 since we've opened with two games in a row at home. That doesn't happen that often.
Right.
And with the schedule the way it is, and you said it, all of these games are tough ones, but look, you got to take care of winning at home. And you can point to it being a division game. Everyone who plays in this division understands how close all of those games are, and it's unusual for a division game to see a two-score lead and a team end up winning by that. Typically, I don't care if it's Atlanta, Carolina, Tampa, Atlanta, or ourselves versus any of those three other teams. It's always a game that's the turnovers, the penalties, the third down numbers are important. And look, in this league, it's different than college. These guys all get paid, and they're exceptional at what they do. And so if you start slow like that and you don't take advantage – Of winning these home games, then in order to turn that thing around, that it's going to require that much more energy to do that on the road. So I think it makes this game obviously that much more important. It's important for us today, and we talked about this in the meeting. Hey, we're only going to get something positive out of today if we look closely at every one of us, coaches, all of us included. Hey, what are the things that kept us from winning this game? And quickly, let's make these adjustments and then move on to a different type of team we're getting ready to play in Cleveland, because it is a different defense. It's a different type of offense. And we just need to work on how to win this game, and that's how our league is.
Coach, you talked a little bit this afternoon about the rush pattern hurting us a little bit at times on the defensive front. And you go back to the 3rd and 11 at the end of the game, where Ryan Fitzpatrick scrambles to end it. And there's a game occurring on that left side of the right side of our defensive line, and nobody gets to contain. Now, in the past, it's always been that there's a contained rusher, but that's not always the case anymore in our league. Was that more of a rush pattern issue or more of an execution of the three technique not getting outside to grab contain?
Well, I think it's a combination of both. I think one of the big points, I'm sure this morning when watching the tape with our players, is there were two or three too many times where we allowed, and look, the quarterback is going to climb and he's going to make some yards occasionally. But for him, for a player like Ryan to be able to, on a third down, flush away from his throwing hand and pick up a first down that ices the game. Because, look, as poorly as there were a lot of things that were done up until that point, the momentum had kind of shifted, and the idea of us getting the ball back still with enough time to possibly score, that was frustrating. So I think you have to be mindful of the rush pattern, and if you have a stunt on or a twist on, you know, that requires, you know, getting to that gap. And I think we're going to play some quarterbacks, and Ryan's a guy that moves around a little bit. But this week, if that happens, that won't be 11. You know, that'll be 41.
Yeah.
Coach, hang with us here. We're going to take a quick break. We're here with Coach Sean Payton. You're listening to the Saints Coaches Show here on the New Orleans Saints Radio Network. Welcome back to the Saints Coaches Show here on the New Orleans Saints Radio Network. I'm Zach Shreve here with the Cajun Cannon, Bobby Hebert, and joined by Saints head coach Sean Payton. And Coach Payton, I wanted to ask you, it seemed certainly early on like getting into empty was part of the game plan going into this game. Was it more based on the matchups that you guys found that you found advantageous, or was that a way to get Alvin the ball more, maybe in a situation, a little more space where he's not being subjected to getting hit by five and six guys in the running game?
Well, I think the first thing, there are some weeks where that empty reel looks more promising than other weeks. And it's not unusual for us in our opening 15 plays to, at some point, show an empty to either confirm what we're thinking and what we're getting, and then whether we want to get back to it. But we felt like, you know, that package was going to be a part of the plan. Obviously, we ended up in it much more than we expected based on the way the game unfolded. But, look, it presents some problems. I thought protection-wise, our guys up front did a very good job. And Drew's so familiar with the different packages we can get to in that package. I think you see Alvin, you see Mike Thomas, even Ben Watson come up with some big plays. So a lot of it is the flow of the game. You know, oftentimes it might be a second long situation where we can try to get some of the yardage back. But I think later in the game, in a hurry-up mode, we even saw more of it. So I think it certainly was a part of the plan and ended up being more of a part of the plan than we expected.
Now, Coach Payne, when you look at, like, you only have limited snaps and who's going to get the touches, who's going to get the targets. Like, for instance, Alvin Kamara had 12 targets in the passing game, 9 receptions, 112 yards. That obviously speaks for itself. You look in the running game, he had 8 attempts. Now, we were playing catch-up at times. But when you look at with Mark Ingram being suspended, beyond Alvin Kamara, what comes into play that you give Mike Gillisley more opportunities than, let's say, Jonathan Williams? I'm looking at Gillisley, he had 3 attempts, and we all know about the fumble, and I want you to comment on that considering, I mean, I read a couple of places that, you know, injuries came into play, but also fumbling put him in the doghouse with Coach Bill Belichick. So is that something that you gave him the business or what? Did you give him that look? Because all of a sudden that's a scoop and score, and usually if that goes against you, you're hard-pressed to win. But just break down the rotation going forward against Cleveland when Ingram's not available as far as maybe Gillisley or Jonathan Williams have an opportunity to run the ball.
Well, I think it's going to be important for us to get production from those two players, and maybe not those two in total, but either of those two or the total of those two. I mean, we still have not really seen a lot of Mike in our offense, nor, you know, have we seen a lot of Jonathan aside from the preseason. And so I know that it's going to be important, and we discussed it last week. We can't have Alvin on the field, you know, for 65, 70 snaps. Now, we didn't yesterday. And yet, you know, that missing piece with Mark made a lot of things right in what we did as far as the running game, but also in the passing game. And I think that it's going to be real important for us to find that second back. And you know, Boston's here on the practice squad right now. That's a very easy move up or move down the day or two before the game. But I think this week, you know, Mike being in his second week here, and then Jonathan, one of those two guys, if not the combination of both of those players, are going to have to carry the ball for us and then also do some things for us in the passing game so that we don't end up with a balance that's really slid one direction.
Now, Coach, this is just you and me talking. I actually had them cut Bobby off. He can't hear this, and we actually have shut the call down here. This is just between you and me. Talk me through your conversation with the official on the sideline on the Mike Thomas reception where he's not touched and that play's blown dead.
Well, listen, the unfortunate thing is the whistle had blown. If it was something you could challenge, if there were anything else that you could do, I wanted to see it again, and sometimes the worst thing for me to do is see it again when I think he felt like the play had stopped. Obviously, it was very quick. Mike was down and up, and so I had seen the replay as he had just finished explaining it, and I wanted to make sure that he knew, hey, that the whistle was too quick there. And look, these guys are pros, and you know, periodically an official will say, hey, I might have missed that one. But it's not coming back. You hope maybe down the road later in the game, if there's a close call, that you get one in your favor. But I think that was just one where it was a quick whistle. And honestly, I don't know that Mike is going to gain 70 more yards on it because I think the players were playing to the whistle. But clearly there was more meat on the bone with that play, and we weren't able to get it.
Now, I don't think that's exactly how
that's not
on the sideline. I've been with you on the sideline before, but I'm going to let you slide on that this once.
Zach, I know this is relatively new to you, but there is a delay. And so you guys are protected with, I think this is a 6-second delay in case of any foul language. But look, it's an imperfect game for us as coaches, for us as players, certainly as the officials. Go through it, and overall, I was asked that question after the game. It was hard to come away from that game and look anywhere else but really at ourselves.
Yep, absolutely. Stay with us here. More when we return. You're listening to the New Orleans Saints Coaches Show here on the New Orleans Saints Radio Network. More with Coach Sean Payton when we return. Welcome back to the Saints Coaches Show. I'm Zach Streve here with Bobby Hebert, but most importantly with Saints head coach Sean Payton.
Now, Coach Payton, is this a trend? And the reason why I'm bringing this up, I'm looking at Michael Thomas. He finished with a franchise record, 16 catches for a team high, 180 receiving yards. Now, I know he'd won back, obviously, that fumble and then that drop that he had. But I'm looking at, to kick off the NFL season, Atlanta against the Eagles and Julio Jones. I want to say he had like 20 targets. I mean, is that something you're going to see more go-to guys that have not only double-digit targets but almost twice as much when you consider 17 to 20? Is that more a game plan or what?
Well, a couple things take place when that happens. There are weeks, obviously, with a player like Julio where teams will lean a safety his direction, whether it's over the top or you saw late in that game, those final two or three plays to end the game, they were playing a bracket coverage on him, and it became that
right.
much more difficult to get him the ball. But I think no different with Mike. And so part of the game plan or part of the challenge is trying to find ways maybe to get that double off, you know, and move him around some. But I don't know to start the game if we felt like he was going to have 16 catches. Sometimes that evolves. And I always kid Ben Watson. We had the game against Atlanta, I think, the one night where he had I don't know how many catches. And it just happens sometimes. And, boy, when you watch Mike's preparation and his walkthroughs and everything he does to get himself ready to play, and, you know, Drew's having a little bit of time. The line's blocking well. It becomes hard in some of the single coverage looks, and we did get enough single yesterday where then it's truly the one-on-one matchup that, you know, you always hear about. And Alvin won a fair share of those yesterday, Mike as well. And it ended up being we were throwing the ball more. And when he lines up as the X, he's generally closest to the quarterback. So if you're playing a lot of man with a middle-high safety and no cheat, you know, the easier, higher percentage throw is the closer receiver, and especially when it's, you know, a Pro Bowl talent like Mike Thomas. So he played well. He competed at a high level, and certainly he'd want the fumble back. You know, periodically you're going to drop a pass, but I think that a lot of that was just the result of how that game started to unfold and then what they were doing defensively.
Coach, one of the things that I think a lot of us noticed was how, and this is a credit to the coaching staff, and we're going to have Coach Pete Carmichael Jr. on in a little bit here, but we saw Alvin Kamara, but even more, Michael Thomas matched up one-on-one with linebackers yesterday five or six times. I mean, it's a completely unfair matchup for a linebacker. And Levante David and Quan Alexander are good coverage linebackers, but we're talking about catches with 4 yards of separation for Mike. What goes into the week of preparation to get a matchup like that consistently?
Well, I think when you see a team that plays a fair share of quarters coverage, or you know, it's not really fair to call it a zone coverage because they match the players in the zone. But oftentimes, if you can take a running back or a tight end and move them outside of the receiver, and the corner bumps on that running back or tight end, that forces the will linebacker to bump then to the X receiver. And so there are weeks that's more favorable with the structure you're getting. We've seen it in all of our Carolina plans. They play a lot of quarters coverage. So you're playing that game, and then if they're in man, right away you see it because the corner stays on the receiver, and then you see a linebacker or a safety go out on the running back or tight end. So it kind of goes back and forth, and I think Mike's become very adept at running some of those option routes inside, and that is, it's a big challenge because, you know, there's a three-way go there, and if the linebacker gets too close, the receiver then can beat him inside, and that's kind of the big no-no in that coverage. You know, they really want to force that ball to go outside, and then very quickly later in the game you saw the adjustment where instead of playing quarters over there, the corner will try to trap it and anticipate Mike coming out. Drew sees that, and then he's throwing the ball to Kamara in the hole, and then we're on to a different radio show for another day.
All right, Coach, thanks so much for being with us, and best of luck next week preparing for the Cleveland Browns, and we look forward to see you guys in the Dome next week.
Thanks, guys. Appreciate it.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.